offering. Let's stand up and give him praise this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God wants to be worshiped. God wants to be worshiped. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. God wants you to worship him. God wants you to worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is spontaneous worship. This is not going to follow the pattern. I told you God had the plan for this service today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give him some more praise. I don't even know if I can preach anymore. I've been preaching all along, but God wants to be worshiped today. Hallelujah. God wants the spark to be rekindled today. God wants your eyes turned to heaven today. God wants you to fulfill his purpose in these last days. He needs you filled with joy, filled with holy anticipation. Hallelujah. 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 Let's exalt his name. For there's no other name given under heaven to men by which we must be saved, except the name of Jesus.
Feel no shame.
Hallelujah.
At the sound of your great name, every fear
has no place.
At the sound of your great name.
Sing it, church.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, he is high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name.
We love you, Lord. We praise you. We exalt you today. The days of Elijah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him a hand clap of praise in this room. He's worthy to be praised here today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're not going to finish this, but you can be seated just for a few moments. And if you will turn with me to Micah chapter 7. On the subject, who has a God like our God? And I want to designate and distinguish him as the God of grace. Before the God of power, before the God of healing, before the God of help, even before the God of salvation, he's the God of grace. Because if he wasn't the God of grace, we couldn't experience the grace of God. And if we couldn't experience the grace of God, no one could be saved. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift. Say it with me, the gift. In fact, that's what grace means. The Greek word for grace is charis. Charis, and it means a gift. It's a gift. It's the context that defines it, but initially, plainly, simply, it is a gift. And that's why the Bible said that we're saved by grace, by the gift. If you're right with God today, you're right because of a gift. Initially, you're standing with God is by gift. You didn't earn it. You can't earn it. You're not earning it. You possess it. You can live a life that expresses appreciation for it. How many believe you're going to heaven today? You know why you believe that? Because someone taught you that it's a gift and you have it and you received it when you received Christ as your Savior. Amen. And you have to keep the beginning of your confidence, of course, steadfast unto the end. But the beginning of your confidence is in what he has done for you, not what you can do for him to prove yourself worthy. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. And for everybody thinks they know somebody. And what's worse, some people think it's them. Amen. Everybody thinks they know somebody that, you know, have you ever heard this statement? And I believe it's true. If anyone is going to heaven, it's her. It's usually a her, by the way. But anyway, if anybody's going to heaven, it was this precious saint. Because we believe they were good enough to get there. If there's anybody good enough, well, see, that's the problem. Nobody is good enough to get there. And that is not a permission to sin. That's a reason to live right. Hallelujah. Because we have a gift. Praise the Lord. That is so wonderful, so powerful, and so precious. And the people that are driven to serve God because of the fear of the repercussions, they usually fail. They give out and they give up on themselves. They give up on God. And the people that serve him because they love him so much because of the gift, they just hang in there because love believes all things, bears all things, endures all things. Love never ends and love never fails. Hallelujah. Amen. So the people that discover the love of God, that reciprocate love to him, that's the people that's going to stand because love endures all things. Paul said, in spite of everything that is touching my life, nothing shall separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Love endures all things. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Believes all things. The Bible said, faith which worketh by love. The reason our faith is strong is because we don't doubt that God loves us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So we don't just have his ear, we have his heart. David knew that. He said, I love the Lord. I'm reciprocating love back to him. I'm loving him back. How do you know that he loves you? I love the Lord because he hears my cry. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. I love the Lord because he hears my prayer. Hallelujah. Turning his ear always to me. Turning his ear. Literally in the Hebrew, it meant, and I've seen it happen over and over again. There's a little guy here. Amen. Saunders' son is not tall yet. Amen. He's not a big guy. And when he comes up and wants to talk to me, for me to listen to him, I have to bend down to listen. Can you say amen? Because it's a long way from him to me, and I'm You know, I worked for a while. I was bivocational for 12 years, and I worked in around machinery. And I'm just, I don't hear as well as I used to hear. They would test my ears and say, "Well, it's normal for your age." I said, "Can't we blame the machines for that? I didn't wear my earplugs like I should have. It's normal for your age. You have some hearing loss, but it's normal for your age. That's not all you lose, amen. That's normal for your age. But we won't even go there, right? See, you can tell that we got an aging audience here because nobody wants to go there. Amen. Except you younger folk, you don't know what we're talking about. This is out of your league. This is way out of your league. Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen carefully. It is so important that we understand, appreciate, and appropriate the grace of God. I've been Pentecostal for all of these years. I'm Pentecostal from head to foot and all the pieces in between. Amen. Amen. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I love the presence of God, the power of God. I love, listen, but without the grace of God, I've seen people with all kinds of anointings and appointments. Amen. But if they didn't discover, appropriate the grace of God in their life, if they didn't learn how to lean on Jesus. The song was written by a man laying in bed. He was a member of a quartet. He was dying of cancer, and he wasn't supposed to live. They gave him a few months. And in that bedridden state, that valley, that deep, dark valley, he learned, and that's what grace is. When you receive it, you got to learn to lean on the Lord with everything. And you got to learn that by coming to an end of yourself. You're not a candidate for grace as long as you are getting through somehow. It's when you come to an end of yourself and no one can help you but God, and you trust Him and lean on Him with everything you are and everything that you have, that grace becomes available to you. It doesn't come available to the strong. It's not for strong people. It's not for people that are so filled with revelation and power that they don't need to lean on God like that brand new believer that knows, "I have nothing and Jesus is my everything." Actually, they're safer than the person with all the gifts, all the revelation, all the power. And that's why there was an emissary from Satan sent by the devil, allowed by the Lord. Everybody say, sent by the devil, allowed by the Lord in His permissive will. There was an emissary from Satan sent to buffet him. And he said, "You know why this is happening to me? I didn't even discover that this could turn into some kind of blessing for me. I would have never known the grace of God if it wasn't for the buffeting that brought me to an end of myself." You say, when did Paul ever come to an end of himself? I'm glad you asked. His letter to the church at Corinth, he said, "I would not have you." See, some of you are ignorant of all of his troubles because you only want to read of his mountaintops. Most of the guys you watch on TV don't have any valleys. They don't have problems. They only have solutions. And if you'll get their tapes and their books, you won't have problems. You'll only have solutions. Everybody say, bread, mayonnaise, lettuce, and tomato. That's all you need to go with all that bologna. Can you say amen? Just make you a sandwich because it's not good for anything else. That's bologna. That's bologna. The Apostle Paul said, literally, "Lest I be lifted up above measure through the many revelations I've received, there was given me a emissary from Satan to buffet me." And he said, "For when I am weak, by this buffeting, then am I made strong." How is he made strong? Because God told him, "My grace is sufficient for you." So he said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure." Everybody has breaking points. You can get to an end of yourself pretty quick. You may think you're very durable, and I've got news for you. You need grace. I need grace. Actually, since I know the Lord better, I know myself better, I need more grace now than I did when I first got saved. I need to lean on Jesus for everything. I'm talking about everything. Everything. I didn't get up this morning feeling like God's man of faith and power. I can't wait to go down there and pour it on them. I didn't feel that way. I don't ever feel that way anymore. I remember when I felt that way. Woo! Turn me loose!
just turn me loose. I got the anointing. I got the revelation. I got the word, and I do have the anointing. I do believe I've got a degree of revelation.
But I am what I am by the grace of God. Can you say amen? And when I see a fallen man or woman, except for the grace of God, there go I. Hallelujah. Thank God for sustaining grace. But Paul said, I didn't discover that until I learned not to trust in myself, even myself with revelation, myself with holy anointing, myself with gifts of the Spirit. I would not have you to be ignorant. Aren't you glad for his forthright, candid openness and sincerity about his own personal life? He did not set a standard that any the rest of us could never hope to achieve. He set a standard we could all reach. Amen. We can all be weak enough to qualify for grace. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's finally something you can achieve? Remember way back at the first of the year? You know, we had Thanksgiving, we had Christmas parties, we had Christmas banquets, we had Christmas cookies, Christmas candy. Woo! Boy, but it's okay because the first of the year, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. I'm going to now, but the first of the year, it's coming off. When Pam makes that fudge, I don't know where to eat it or just roll it up and stick it right here. Because that's where it's going. Hallelujah. Amen. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia. Him and the other apostles, how we were pressed beyond measure. And listen to this. No Christian is supposed to ever find themselves in this condition. But listen to it. And we despaired of life itself. It's not the first time a great Christian leader has despaired. And one just say, why don't you just take me to heaven? The pressure is so great, it's sustained. Take me to heaven. God, no. He's going to give us sufficient grace. Amen. He can use us in that condition. If we will receive the grace he provides and the wisdom sometimes. Moses, he led almost 3 million people out of Egypt. And when they got out there, there was one guy taking care of all of the disputes, all of the problems. If somebody's goat ate somebody's long johns, and goats will eat anything, guess who was standing in Moses' tent at daylight? He owes me a pair of long johns. His goat ate them. My goat got untied. I am not responsible for what the goat does when he's untied. Moses, tell him he's got to buy me some long johns. His goat ate them. I don't care why he got loose. If he has to sleep with the goat, chain himself to the goat. Don't let him come to my washing. He had that kind of stuff from daylight to dark, day in, along with all the other stuff of leading all these people and providing for them with God's grace and mercy. And his father-in-law went by his tent and he heard Moses talking to God. You know what he was saying to God? Oh, this is pillar of fire. This is after the miracle. I tell you, you got to have grace. You've got to have grace. You've got to have help. He said, Lord, take me on. In essence, paraphrasing, don't let me fall apart before the people here. Just crumple to the ground in a heap of pulsating sobs and fall apart. Just take me on to heaven. Point somebody else and take me up. Come and get me. I like the bumper sticker from the Trekkies that said, beam me up, Spock. There's no intelligent life down here. Pretty good bumper sticker. But anyway, moving right past that. Moses was praying to die. Paul said, we despaired of life itself. Moses' father, Moses, the man who saw the Red Sea part when he just held a rod, had God with him. But he's human. 100% human. And he had thresholds, breaking points. Everybody's got them. There's some preachers on TV you think don't have them. Believe me, they do have them. Don't try to be Superman. Be a person who understands, appreciates, and appropriates God's provision for your weakness. And that's His grace, His mercy, His help. Help from above. And sometimes it comes with wisdom with Moses. Amen. He didn't have the grace that we have access to, but by grace, God gave him an answer through his father-in-law. Says, choose you 70 men, and I'm going to take a portion of the anointing to lead and to judge that's on you, and I'm going to spread it out on those 70. So that when you get up in the morning, there's 70 men with people standing at their tents. Oh, yes, Lord. Don't you know that was a load off of Moses? Can you say, man? It was a load off of him. One of his great issues. God was with him. God brought water out of the rock, gave him the guidance of the pillar by day and a night and the cloud by day to lead him. Amen. Sent them manna from heaven. God provided, but the man is breaking. It's not because God isn't with him and God's not moving supernaturally and that he's not anointed or appointed. It's because he's a human being. And there's this other stuff. Everybody say the other stuff. Stuff happens. Even back then, stuff happened to them. And the stuff was getting him down. And the stuff made him want to give in. The stuff made him. He was pressed beyond measure. And despaired of life. He wasn't suicidal. But he just wanted to go home. Just take me home. I don't want to be the leader anymore. I don't want everybody depending on me. I want them to depend on you. Not me. Amen? See, if you just start depending on me, you're going to become my biggest critic. Because you're going to criticize what I don't give you. And I'm not here to be him for you. I'm here to get you looking to him. And if you don't look to him, you're going to look to me. And if you're going to look to me, you're going to be disappointed. When you get disappointed, guess who's going to get it in the neck? Me. Again. I mean, no, Jesus is the only one that can change you. Jesus is the only one that can give you peace. Jesus is the only one that can. I can pray for you, but I can't be Jesus to you. Amen. You've got to get in touch with Jesus. Amen. He that feareth is not perfected in love. Fear hath torment, penal imprisonment. It torments you. But perfect love cast out all fear. Can you say amen? God has loved you with a perfect love. Receive it. We've known and believed the love that God has for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Bask in it. Enjoy it. Employ it. Get up in the morning and say, Jesus loves me. This I know, for Mount Calvary tells me so. Don't wait for a feeling. Hallelujah. Stand on the fact of what he's done for you and rejoice in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you don't do that, you're going to look for somebody to be your scapegoat. Somebody's not fulfilling you. Somebody's not what giving you what you need. Because guess what, whole hoss? It's all about you. No, it's not about you. And you do have needs. And they are legitimate. And God wants to be the one to meet those needs. God wants you to lean on him. I'm here to get you hooked up to the God that gave his son for you. I'm here as a liaison to help you receive the word and use the faith that you have. Praise God. Amen. Let God love you. Just let him love you. A man employed a lady who her husband had left her with a bunch of kids. She took care of all of those kids. She got up and took care of milking a cow and stock and raising kids and cooking breakfast. And I saw a washboard the other day. My wife has a washboard. It is for ambiance. Anybody ever seen a scrub board? My great-grandmother's knuckles. She had calluses. From where she had washed on that washboard till she had built calluses. Because she rubbed herself raw. I mean, washing. She took in boarders, my great-grandmother, and she had calluses of just washing on that washboard. That washboard, that now it's sitting there in the little bitty room with the washer and dryer. Amen. And it's kind of a reminder to me, oh, hallelujah. Oh, look at that. Isn't it good? Because sometimes I do the wash when she's away. I'm so glad, because if I pick that thing up, I wouldn't want to tackle it. Lye soap, Oh, my goodness. You talk about wanting to have, you want those softety hands to hold lye soap in a washboard. You better get you some gloves, can you say, man? Dove ain't going to do it for you. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, they knew, use it for Zydeco down in New Orleans. You can play that sucker with thimbles on your fingers. I'm glad when I go in there that there's a washer and dryer. I'm glad that old washboard just sitting there, that's something that I don't need anymore. How we'll work that into Scripture, I have no earthly idea. But we'll figure it out before it's over. Amen. I just want you to know something today while you smile just a little bit. God loves you. No one can do. Listen, say, can't nobody do me like Jesus. That's not just a little song, honey. That is the absolute gospel truth. I have been to churches. I've been around preachers. I have watched people on TV. I've seen them come, go, rise, and fall. And I can say to this day, there are people I respect and people I love. There are people that preach, and I love to hear them. There are people that write books, and I love to read them. The Bible is a wonderful book, but can't nobody, can't nobody, can't nobody, can't nobody, can't nobody, can't nobody, no how, no way, nowhere. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's my friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not a fanboy of some preacher. I'm not of Apollos, and I'm not of Paul. As wonderful as they are, I'm not of Paul. I'm not of Apollos. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he said, if you're a fanboy or a fangirl of a great preacher with a great anointing, you're following the wrong person. Paul did say, follow me, but as I follow Christ. Can you say, man, ultimately you'll end up following Jesus if you followed Paul. Because he's the one that say, looking unto Jesus. If you follow Paul, he's going to point you to Jesus. Say, if you follow Paul. He's going to point you to Jesus. Whew, hallelujah. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. Lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset you. And run with patience the race that is set before you. Looking unto Brother Venable. No. I'll fail you. I'll let you down. So will Oral. And so will Richard. And so will Billy. Billy Graham shouldn't be preaching right now. He shouldn't be teaching right now. He's getting things wrong doctrinally. I said, Brother, I don't want to hear that. I'm sorry, it's the truth. That's why Paul said, even if you get a letter from us. And we've changed our stance from what we've already told you. You tear it up. You throw it away. You follow Christ. Say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a day of deep deception. And we are desperate for revival in America. In our homes, we need revival. We need restoration. We need our kids back that the world is clutching and defying us and saying, I'm not going to turn them loose. And we need a revival, hallelujah, and a restoration to where you say, you are going to turn them loose. Can you say amen? Somebody that's willing to do some battle to see them turn loose. Glory to God. These are the days of Elijah. This is the prophetic time. These are the days that God is moving by His Spirit. And those people in French Equatorial Africa, amen, are delighting in the soon coming of Jesus. Hallelujah. Here in materialistic America, we're delighting in a new automobile, a new house, a bigger bank account. We're really not centered on the coming of Christ. But the mighty revival to bring in the last day harvest is centering people on Jesus and His soon coming. Hallelujah. 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 And to them that look, anticipate, desire, yearn for, He shall appear. To them that look, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That means this coming for the church is not to deal with sin. It's to culminate our salvation. It's to bring the climax of our salvation, for the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are living and remain shall be caught up. Listen carefully. Laying in that bed, 6 months to live. This man who sang the high praises of God learned to lean on Jesus. That meant he came to a place that he could receive the grace of God. See, every time I complain, I realize I'm moving away from grace. I didn't say when you complained. I said when I complained. But really, complaint is complaint is complaint. And you'll never experience what you need by complaining about what you don't have. Amen? And it's human nature. Everybody say human nature. But you know something? We got a new nature. We got a new nature. Quit complaining. You know what happened? He was providing for them. He was providing for them in the wilderness. And what did they do? Complained. Now, I don't know what manna tastes like, but we get some hints in the Bible. Jewish scholars really take us into a beautiful area because it rained out of heaven. It wasn't anything manufactured here. Come out of the skies. It was perishable. You had to eat it each day. Give us this day our daily bread is the principle already coming forth out of the old covenant. Don't think about tomorrow, the next day. What am I going to do next week? Hey, is God providing today? Well, when next week gets here, it'll be today on that day. Amen? Tomorrow will be today tomorrow. Am I correct about that? Today is not tomorrow, but when I get to tomorrow, tomorrow will be today tomorrow. Amen? I mean, it's not today today, but tomorrow it'll be today. It won't be today yesterday. It'll be today then. Now, faith. Now. It's always in the now. Not last week, last year, next week. It's now, faith is. Now is the day of salvation. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. God is an ever-present tense God. Hallelujah. Woo! It's not what you're going to do next year. It's what you're going to do right now. Praise God. I'm convinced if you don't do something now when God is calling, ain't nothing going to happen in your life. Now is the day. This is the appointed time. Amen. Oh, Brother Bimble, one of these days I'm going to read more. No, you're not. No, you are not. I've been a pastor for 40 years. I've heard it for 40 years. If you don't make a decision in a service, you get out there, you're not going to go somewhere. Folks, you're going to go back into the pattern. Now is the time. This is the place to make the commitment. This is where changes occur. If they don't occur here, guess what? The same old you is going to come back with the same old problems, same old burdens, and same old circumstance. Amen? Today, if you will hear my voice, today, praise God. Harden not your heart as in the day of the provocation. Listen to me carefully. Listen, you need that grace. I can't give it to you. I will disappoint you. There's nobody can do you like Jesus. I can introduce you to Him, encourage you to trust in Him. I can try to get your mind off of demons and devils and get your mind on Jesus and His commitment to never leave you or forsake you. But you've got a mind of your own, and you're either going to think on, listen, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, whatsoever things are lovely, oh Lord, you're beautiful. Can you say, man, think on these things? Can you say, man, think on these things? And David knew how to do that. He said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. Everybody say stinking thinking. Every time you think about all of your enemies. Some people dwell on the netherworld. You're more aware of demons and devils than angels and Christ. You live in fear and trepidation. There's no peace. Never seen a person with that attitude with peace. Man came to our church. His wife had a deliverance ministry. They dealt with devils constantly. Spirits constantly. He came with her to visit our church at the old Holy Church of God. I preached on the love of God. He'd never heard it. I mean, he heard about it, little bits and pieces, but not in depth. He didn't understand how much God loved him. He was always in fear of some demon or some devil or some minion from the netherworld. Always against him and watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out. No joy, no peace. Oh, I don't want to discount demons and devils, but I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Behold, I give you power over all of the power of the devil. All of it. Praise God. Let me know what all means. That means everything. The whole enchilada, lock, stock, and barrel. Glory be to God. All of it. All of it. And I've seen people that, anyway, he came to our church. He heard a message on the love of God. His heart melted. He came down to the altar. Amen. We didn't just wipe tears off that altar. People's noses run on that altar. We should have got rubber gloves and we weren't aware of sanitation, but we wiped them altars down. People come down and cry. They get to crying. Their sinuses turn loose. Amen. Amen. And it was all saturated, top of those. Those are unsanitary altars. We had to ask the Lord, sanctify them, Lord. People are going to kneel at them thing. He cried and he wept and his heart melted. And he come after the service and I thought, what a terrible thing to try to fight the devil who is the author of fear without the love of God to sustain it. What a terrible thing to always be wondering if the devil's going to prevail, the devil's going to take over, the devil's going to have his way and not be sustained by the love of God that casteth out what? All fear. All of it! All of it! Most people don't have. See, when the Bible said God has not given us a spirit of fear, it didn't mean a spirit from the netherworld. It's an attitude of heart and mind. Everybody say attitude. You get your attitude right. Count it all joy. Attitude. When you fall into various tests and temptations, count it as joy. That's an attitude correction. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love. Power. And a sound mind. And the word sound here is not the same as the Greek word for sound doctrine. It's the same interpreted, but the way it's used changes the meaning. When the Bible speaks of sound doctrine, it means healthy and pure and not polluted. When it talks about a sound mind, it's one Greek word. It means disciplined. It means you pointed in the right direction. Your spirit, man. Begins to tell your mind what to think of. And that disciplined mind. Finally, brethren, listen. He said, the weapons, let me put it all in context. Here's what Paul taught. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any praise, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. Can you say, man, you think on a past hurt, it's going to poison your soul with bitterness and unforgiveness. You think on what Jesus has done, listen, you think on what somebody did to you, it's going to make you bitter. You think on what Christ has done for you, it's going to make you better. You've got a choice. You've got a choice. Oh, wow, how liberating it is to know the key to my prison is in my back pocket. If I had a key in my pocket, you couldn't keep me in jail. Come on. If I got a key in my pocket, you can't keep me in prison. Fear hath torment, penal imprisonment. But I got a key. It's called the love of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He that feareth is not perfected in love, but perfect love cast out all fear. Timothy, you're just discouraged. It happens to everybody. Stir up, fan into flame the gift that is in you. Oh! For God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Woo! If I choose to today, I can think about 40 years of people that done me wrong, that hurt me, slandered my name. People that came in my office and called me things worse than the devil. I've had people call me the devil. One lady wrote me a letter. I saved it for a while, and then I thought, I can't ever read that thing again. That'd get me into stinking thinking. She said, that slithering snake that Satan has raised up behind the pulpit. Because she couldn't have her way. I had a witch one time come in, and she tried to. You know, people went to McDonald's after the service. There was near a church in Silver Springs. And she was a practicing witch, and she heard her talking to some people that was affiliated with her about her going to put a curse on Brother Venable, put a curse on his family. They don't like it. They don't. I had one man one time. He attributed all of his problems to some people that were in the occult, that they have cursed. Oh, come on, quit it. Stop it right here, right now. The devil's going to give us all trouble, but we got somebody with us. Can you say amen? We got somebody for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I look back in the Old Testament, saw a man hired to curse Israel. And he stood up and tried to curse Israel, but only blessing would come out. And even if cursing did come out, God wouldn't honor it. Because if what Paul said, let's stop all the argument. Let's shut every lying mouth of every demon, devil, and minion of hell. Let's stop everyone that wants to malign you, tear you up, and tear you down. What more shall we say to these things? This is the end of every argument. If God be for us, who can be against us? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 So we get rid of the fear and we move into faith. One of you, when God is for you, will chase a thousand. Two of you will put 10,000 to flight. They'll come out against you one way. They'll flee before you seven way. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. Say it with me. No weapon. Nothing in Satan's arsenal. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is the birthright. This is the legacy. This is the heritage of the servants, every one of them, of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me. It's a grace gift. Satan can't harm it, take it away. He can't decimate it, disintegrate it. I granted it. He can't pick them apart and say, now I can hurt them, because I've granted it. That scripture, the book of Isaiah, starts out with, oh, thou tossed with tempest and not comforted. And it's prophetically about the Gentile nations that didn't have the covenant that Israel had with God. Tossed with tempest and not comforted. He said, there's a day coming when that's going to change. When the covenant and grace extended to ancient Israel is going to be amplified and increased to them, and is going to include you too. Hallelujah. And when that day occurs, no weapon formed against you will prosper anymore. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Don't miss the last part. And their righteousness is of me, saith God. Paul said, come on, God, the devil. Everybody say devil. Say the word. Oh, don't say it because you. I know. We don't even talk. Let me say it. The devil. You know what that means? Devil means it's diabolos in the Greek. And it means a maligner. It means somebody that wants to tear your character down. Disqualify you, not only to other people to be a witness, but to God, to where you can't help him. He's too flawed. You can't help him. He's too flawed. Then you get this fear of God abandon you, and nobody, you just wilt. Listen, you're flawed and God knows it. And I believe you can walk in abject rebellion and disqualify yourself from the grace that God provides. But if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he's going to exalt you in due season. In spite of the maligner. Devil means maligner. Now is, what is it? Revelation chapter 12. Now is the accuser. That's exactly what devil means. What's he do? Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God how consistently? Day and night. In the story of Job, there's an angel. Jacob saw angels descending and ascending. Can you say amen? Coming before God, getting their orders, coming here to carry him to the out. Hallelujah, on our behalf to accomplish God's purposes. There's an angel ascending that was forbidden to be ascending. And God watched him come. And he said, what are you doing here? To Satan himself. And you know what's the first thing he did? He said, all them people you love, you're in covenant with down there, they won't serve you for naught. It's only for what you can do for them materially. They don't love you. They don't care about you. If it wasn't for your blessings, if you let me at them and hurt those blessings, he said, they'll curse you to your face. They're all rotten. They're not worth saving. They are no good. They don't deserve mercy. Everybody say the accuser. Let's be real careful about pointing the finger. Because the day you point the finger, you have entered into self-righteousness. You've considered yourself. Amen. You'd be one of those people that would have threw that rock at that lady. The only thing is, Jesus would have exposed your sin when you did it. Can you say amen? And you're not without. And I'm not without. Sin doesn't reign in me, but I'm not sinlessly perfect. There's omission, there's commission, there's attitudes that need repented of, and that's why in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who transgress against us. Can you say amen? We get our humility back. We qualify for grace. We obtain God's mercy. God's going to raise up some warriors and soldiers. We get our mind right and get rid of stinking thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatsoever things are of good report. You don't have to think on the bad side. It'll come crowding in. It'll come racing in. It's going to come by telephone. It's going to come by text message. It's going to come. This is the day of the media. The devil has no problem getting the bad stuff to you. Amen. You can run, but you can't hide no more. Pick up your telephone. You got a text. Oh, Lord God in heaven, I wish I hadn't seen that. How heartbreaking this is. How heart-wrenching this is. Well, I got to think on something beyond that. I got to transcend that. Amen. Because that's not good report. And that's not praise. It doesn't make me want to praise God. It makes me want to cry out, oh, Lord, what's going on? Oh, God. Listen, I've been there. I know what that's like. One email can change your day. One phone call. A prayer meeting. Where most of it is spent discussing the sin that someone's in or the problem they're having instead of the God who's the only one that can help. Right. Can turn into a gossip session that leaves everybody depleted instead of something that says, oh God, you're on the throne and nothing's too hard for you. You know the problem. We don't have to go into every detail. You know it all. In fact, you just think you know all the details. It's probably a lot worse than you think it is. People get placed the devil, it gets bad. But where sin abounds, I can dwell on the sinfulness of it all. Amen. Or I can dwell on the grace that God has provided. I can choose. I got to make a choice. I'm about done, but I got to make a choice. Where sin doth abound. Where sin doth abound. Where sin doth abound. His grace does much more abound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is God going to do about all the sin? There is grace available. Hallelujah. God, because of grace, is going to touch sinners, draw sinners. He's going to convict sinners. He's going to deliver sinners. God is going to move in the midst of a sin-filled world. His hands are not tied. Hallelujah. Unless we get so discouraged and disgusted, we don't believe God for anything anymore. Throw in the towel. We give up. I read the paper. I look at areas of the church world. I get sick. I want to quit. Look at it, Lord. What difference can I make when I look to Jesus? And I hear, and I search out the good. I hear that good report of what God's doing in Kenya. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I see people revived, amen, in Ecuador. Praise the Lord. I see mighty revival shaking Norway from Africa to the Antarctic. When I hear of 20,000 people a day coming to Christ in China under heavy persecution, the church is alive and well and thriving and evangelistic. Can you say amen? When I look at other people, I get discouraged because people fail me. They fail God and it hurts. But when I look to the one that said, I'll never leave you, he lifts me up. Hallelujah. He never fails to lift me. When I say, ah, Lord God, thou hast made the earth and the heavens. You know what the Lord, what the devil wants to accomplish? He wants me to quit interceding. To give up on those people. Just quit praying. Look at them. They're getting worse. They don't care. They won't listen to nobody. I'm going to pray for you. Whether you love me or hate me. Amen. I'm going to pray for you. Whether you criticize me or applaud me, I'm going to pray for you. Whether you get it or not, it'll be on your head. It won't be on mine for not praying for you. Can you say, man? I'm going to give you to God. And I'm not going to worry about you. Because if I give you to God, my faith says you're in good hands. I don't believe that. I don't have dinner here. I got to pick on Sherry. Lord, I prayed for her and I prayed for her and I prayed for her. Dear Lord, God in heaven, I don't know. Don't listen. I don't know what's going to happen. What are we going to do with Doug? Dear Lord in heaven, you know, sometimes give him God. I'll tell you something. This may come as a shock to you. You are sheep. You're not my sheep. Nobody can steal my sheep because I don't have any. Are you a shepherd? I'm an under shepherd. There's only one great shepherd. One. And you know, one. He's the head. Oh, but you're the head of the church. No, 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 no. No, I'm the guy that the buck stops. The IRS holds me accountable and you hold me accountable, but there's a head of the church and it ain't me. There's a chief shepherd. I'm not him. His shoes I'm not worthy to unlace. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a chief shepherd. And you know what the Bible said of the covenant people in the book of Psalms? We are the sheep of his pasture. We're the people of his hand. Woo! And he said, oh, by the way, I found out that he was right-handed. That God is, say it with me, God is right-handed. Because he told anxious Israel, since they're the people of his hand, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Can you say amen? Well, if God's going to do that for you, I'm not going to walk the floor all night long. Because you can walk it. But once I pray, I'm not going to walk it. Because I believe this God is your God. I believe he loves you. If you're truly saved today, he's in covenant with you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. But he'll go with you through your trials, your troubles, your hurts, even your backslidden times. He won't turn you loose. Hallelujah. Not that you ever had one, but anyway. There's a mighty shepherd. Christ is the chief cornerstone. One Indian said, I know Jesus loves Indian people. Bible say he chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. 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 He's the head of the church. Hallelujah. He's the captain of the Lord's host. Hallelujah. The commander-in-chief of heaven's armies. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. But if I get discouraged in you, I get discouraged in him for not answering prayer, and you for not letting him answer it, I'm going to quit praying for you. And my hope is gone. I'm going to come in here with an attitude. It ain't going to make no difference what I say. It ain't going to make no difference what I do. Because so-and-so is going to do what they've always done. So why should I pray? And why should I prepare this great biblical sermon? Jeremiah said, I'm not going to prophesy no more. They're not listening. They're persecuting me for doing it. I'm sitting here in the mire of this underground jail cell called a dungeon. And the Bible said when they threw him in, he sunk up in the mire. That water, groundwater had come in, not counting the excrement and the urine of people that were in before him. Stinking place. And he sunk up in it. Now, when you're in that condition and all Israel sinning and not listening to anything you had to say, there's no revival in the land. There's not one conversion recorded. Not one person who changed their mind under his ministry so far. He's down in the mire, and I guess this will tell if you're called or not. If you're going into ministry, you better be called. Not just, well, I think I'm going to preach. I like to be up front. You're going to be on the devil's front row too. Can you say amen? Hunting season come. I was reading the Far Side. There's a deer standing up with another deer, and a big sign said, hunting season starts tomorrow. And all them deer hunters are going to be looking for deer. There's one deer standing there. He's got a huge red target on his chest. And the other one's looking at him and said, bummer of a earthmark. Bummer of a birthmark, Earl. I'll tell you, the devil's going to mark you. If you set yourself to lead and encourage and try to win souls to Christ, the devil's got your number. He's had mine for years, zip code and everything. But the Lord is the Lord. And the Lord is faithful. Can you say amen? Listen carefully as we close. We got to get past this attitude that of defeatism and fatalism. His grace is sufficient, but only time you discover it is when you come to an end of yourself. That's why Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure and despaired of life itself, that we might learn something you can only learn when you get there. You can't even learn that by listening to me read it to you. You got to get there and do the right thing when you find yourself there. That we might learn not to trust in ourselves. Isn't that a great lesson? How do you learn that lesson? Well, I've been in Brother Venable's Bible class. He's been teaching us not to trust or lean on that flesh. Well, until you get to the end of yours, you haven't learned that lesson. Amen? And most people that have trouble learning that lesson think that they'll never get there. And you may be already there. Some of your righteousness may be dependent on your strength, your power, your revelation, and your experience. If it is, Satan can pick it apart. But here's what he can't pick apart. Paul said, in being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which comes by the law, that means I can't keep the law perfectly. No one ever did or ever could. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, the only one who can. Can you say amen? And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which comes by the law, but the righteousness which is of God through Jesus Christ. It's God's righteousness. Their righteousness is of me. It's by covenant. It is a gift, charis. Charis, grace, charis. Halabakosundia, sakaris. It is the word we get charismata from, which is the nine supernatural charis gifts of the Spirit. Charis. Can you say amen? Salvation is the gift of God. When it occurs, it changes you within. So there's corresponding actions. You begin to live different, think different. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. But listen to me. It's not of works. No one's good enough to go to heaven. No one could ever be good enough to go to heaven. No one's in heaven that was good enough to get there. And Paul didn't find the sufficiency of grace until he came to that place in Asia. And after that, in 1 Corinthians, all those troubles kept on coming. They didn't stop at Asia, but he handled them differently. He had an attitude. He said, "They ain't nothing. Nothing!" When he quit trusting in himself and experienced that sufficiency of God's grace, he said, "No matter what I'm facing, there's grace sufficient. And that grace is flowing out of God's love for me." And he never doubted that love, no matter what he was facing. He said, "There's nothing that'll separate, nothing present, nothing coming, angels and principalities and circumstances, there's sword, nothing, nakedness, peril, nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ." Can you say, man? He never despaired of life again because he learned not to trust in himself, but in God who raises the dead. Hallelujah. 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 And what a humble, powerful man he was. He got all of that power and anointing without losing his humility. And God continued to use him right up until he finished his course. Amen. Well, we're ready to stop with this today. Who has a God like our God? A God of such grace. Micah 7, closing two scriptures, Micah 7, 18, who has a God like unto thee? And it doesn't start talking about power to deliver yet. This is the reason for all of that other stuff. That pardoneth iniquity. That passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. Can you say amen? He delights in mercy. I'm delighted that he delights in mercy. How about you? A little better amen would be greatly appreciated. Because you need mercy, folks. I hate to break it to you. You really do need mercy. And so do I, and so do we. I'm going to read Psalm 103 in closing, just part of it. Bless the Lord. And here's grace back here. Not to the same dynamic and dimension of the New Testament, but it's here. Covenant love is in effect. And David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." What's number one? Who forgives all thine iniquities? Number one. Who forgives? Before healing, before deliverance, before help, he forgives my iniquity. Grace. Mercy is flowing from the heart and hand of God. Forgiveness is the greatest thing, greater than healing, greater than any help. God's forgiveness. For the God that knows every sin we've committed to say, "I forgive you." And not only do I forgive you, I forget. As it is written, saith the Lord in the new covenant, I will cast their sins away from them. As far as the east is from the west, their sin will I remember no more. Boy, when I get up in the morning and know that my past is past. And Paul, he likes to end arguments. He said, who? What more shall we say to these things? Then he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. It's Christ that died, yea, is risen from the dead for our justification. Hallelujah. Amen. If God says not guilty, who's going to come up and bring the charge? In other words, get right with God and forget about all those people criticizing you, including your own conscience. Next time your conscience kicks in, say, shut up. What more shall we say? Don't get in an argument with the devil, the accuser. Say, shut up. Forgives all thine iniquity, it opens the door for every other blessing. Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither keep his anger forever, but he has not dealt with us after our sins. Here's grace, folks, and mercy, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord. Pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust. Praise God. 17 says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. His righteousness to children's children. Praise God. I just want to stop right there. How many in this room, Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, saved people, are beginning to understand how vital His grace is to take you through? Because if I get discouraged, like Timothy was, I won't use my faith. I won't stir up the gift. I won't intercede for you because I will feel like it ain't going to make no difference, no how. Amen? In fact, I won't preach anymore. Say, I put in my 40 years. Let some young buck come along that's got it all figured out. I meet people like that all the time. People tell me all the time how to handle everything. And I scratch my head, Brother Taylor, and say, Lord, you made a big mistake making me a pastor.
You should have made him. He knows everything. Why did you pick me? You knew he's a know-it-all. He's got it all together. He sees everything that's wrong and knows exactly how to fix it.
Boy, I'd like to see him or her do it for 40 years. I'd like to see them cut it for 40 weeks. In fact, 1,700 preachers are going to leave the ministry in America before the end of this month every 30 days. 4,000 churches are going to open. 7,000 are going to close. Discouragement's real. Satan uses it very effectively. If I quit praying for my son, if I quit praying for my son, you know what I'm doing? You know what I'm doing? Have you ever heard when somebody won't listen, there's a point where God says prayer isn't going to help anymore. Turn such one over to Satan. You don't have to stand up and give them to Satan. All you have to do is say, I can't continue to pray for their blessing. Pray for their salvation. I can't pray for their blessing any further. And when you quit praying and interceding, no one's standing in the gap, guess what? You've just turned them over. Just turned them over. There are Christians right now that have done turned America over. They feel like America ought to be punished, and we're getting our just deserts. Honey, mercy is new every morning. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. Because if we did, nobody's going to heaven, and you can't have a prayer answered, and there's no grace sufficient. and grace does not abound. Sin has overcome grace. Satan has conquered God. Neither is true. God is still on the throne. Grace is still abounding. And sinners are still going to come to Jesus. There's still hope for this nation. Can you say amen? Oh, good. Give him a hand clap. You don't have to agree that God's going to help America, but you live here. If you've given up hope, you're going into depression. Discouragement. A discouraged preacher by the name of Timothy, a man that had been right where he was. Amen. Paul, I would not have you ignorant of trouble, but we've learned not to trust in ourselves. And Timothy, I want you to learn that same lesson. I want you to rise up. I want you to stand up. And I want you to speak up for God. Can you say amen? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Okay, whether they listen or whether they don't, stand up and declare the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Somebody's going to listen somewhere. It's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference. Would you stand with me today? Praise God. What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful God that we serve. Blessed be His holy name. Blessed be His holy name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yina masola bakasile nenda da basitiata sola bakataya. Amen. Paul knew how to shut the devil up. Paul knew how to shut up his own accusing conscience. Can you say, man? Paul just knew how to shut to the mouth of the lion. Praise God with God's grace and God's mercy. And we got to learn that lesson. We got to learn that. How many's got loved ones that need Christ? Stand in the gap. God's looking for a man. Stand in the gap. That you might want. Make up the hedge. The hedge is not an agricultural statement. It's a wall of righteousness that keeps the devil from crossing over and totally destroying. Can you say amen? And I'm going to venture to say, even if you didn't have a mom and daddy that did it, or a sister and brother that did it, or a family member that did it, somebody in your community, somebody in your city, somebody in your town was interceding for your salvation. That's why you're saved today. Because it works. We're all a product of it. And listen, you say, well, I don't know anybody. Well, I know somebody. There's a man hanging on that cross in agony. Amen. Interceding, 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 interceding. Father, forgive them. Interceding on the cross in agony, but still interceding. And he didn't stop. He rose up and he ever lives. I hope this will hold me up. He ever lives. Come on, it's got snot and tears on it. This ain't going to hurt it. Listen, amen. He ever lives to make intercession. When I fall down, he stands up. And he lifts me up. Can you say amen? Woo! Wow. I feel a stirring in the atmosphere. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's give him some praise. We're on a venture. God's not through with this message. We're going to find out something about the mercy and the grace of God. And God's going to undergird you. God's going to sustain you. And God's going to restore the years that the caterpillar, the canker worm, amen, and the locust have eaten. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mikalababa, Salabab. Because there's a covenant running from Abraham to Jesus and from Jesus to us. God has set his love on us. Hallelujah. And because he set his love, his grace and mercy is new every single morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Knowing what I know about grace and mercy, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Can you say amen? Let's give him praise. Hallelujah.